New York is now one of a growing number of states with a so-called red flag law. It authorizes people to petition a court for the removal of guns from individuals who they believe pose a serious threat to themselves or others. And what's unique about New York's law is that it allows teachers and school administrators to ask for these extreme risk orders of protection. 13 other states only allow law enforcement and, in some cases, family and household members to seek these orders. Supporters of the New York law say it could prevent school shootings, suicides, and other tragedies. Critics have concerns about due process. Rochester attorney David Tennant is joining us to talk about how the law will work in New York. Tennant is a former co-chair of the New York State Bar Association's Task Force on Gun Violence. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As I just mentioned, under this law, courts may issue an order to seize the firearms of a person who is raising red flags, if you will, someone deemed a threat to him or herself or others. It seems that this could be open to all kinds of interpretation. Do we know what guidelines and evidence judges will rely on to make that determination?
Well, courts routinely deal with issues of dangerousness of individuals, whether it's to themselves or to others. And obviously, there are orders of protection that are long recognized in New York. It's most commonly thought of in terms of domestic violence. So there's a whole background to this. And so this isn't coming out of left field as something that's just made up. But it is, you know, unique in the sense that it's trying to find, at a critical point, a way for the courts to intervene and stop the next Parkland or other type of, you know, mass shooting, as well as suicides and homicides that might be just done because people are in crisis and have easy access to a firearm. So the process here is really in two steps, with a temporary application for an extreme protection order. And that would be basically a one side, the party, the petitioner coming in saying, this individual is in crisis, and we are very concerned about their safety, whether it's, you know, to themselves or their risk, their threat to others. It has to be done under oath, might be done just on the papers, could be done ex parte, which means just one side coming in. But it is the first step in trying to get the courts to hear evidence of, you know, concerned people who think that someone could be doing something that would be a, you know, coming to a serious risk to themselves or others.
Can a person, the person in question here, who would be the person considered to be at risk, could they file an appeal to prevent the seizure of their weapons if they had any, or to delay the process?
Yes. It's a full evidentiary hearing with witnesses. The petitioner has to show a very high standard of evidentiary proof, clear and convincing evidence that the respondent is likely to engage in conduct that would result in serious harm to himself or others. And that clear and convincing standard is unusual. It's heightened. It's hard to meet. And then if that order issues and the final protection order is in place, the respondent has really two options. They can file an appeal from that order, as any, you know, unhappy litigant can in any case, or they could basically wait to see how things pan out. And they basically have one opportunity to come back and say to the court, hey, the circumstances have changed here. I'm no longer a threat to myself or others. And at that time, there would be another hearing, and they would, you know, be in a position to argue that their weapons that were seized should be returned to them.
Well, you mentioned that the standard of proof in these cases is a pretty high standard to meet. I have read reports from mental health professionals, and they've talked about the fact that it is exceedingly difficult to predict with any level of accuracy whether someone is going to take action against others in a dangerous way. It's really not known how effective these laws could be in preventing something from happening.
And that's where we do need better evidence. And with Congress being in a position to allow the Centers for Disease Control to undertake the research that would allow for a better understanding of how mass shooters are, you know, created, what forces come to bear on them, and how a red flag law can be better tailored to address that particular threat. And without evidence, we go into any of these circumstances of trying to find some solutions to gun violence, really doing our best to guess at what will work, with Indiana and Connecticut having some success in reducing suicides. This is good policy on that level, and it would seem as though we'll find out whether there is a comparable reduction in homicides.
Rochester Attorney David Tennant explaining New York's red flag law that goes into effect in August of this year. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.